Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So during this Lenten season on Wednesdays, we've been looking at St. Luke's gospel and focusing on Jesus and his approach to prayer. And tonight we're looking at that gospel reading that was read just a couple of minutes ago. Probably familiar words to all of us, the portion of the Lord's Prayer, what we now call the Lord's Prayer. But I'm just wondering, do you have like a familiar place or favorite place that you go to pray? Maybe it's in your bedroom or your office, maybe even your workplace, at your dining room table or outdoors? Or do you have a favorite time to pray, like before you go to sleep? Some people have said, well, I don't like praying right before I go to sleep because I always fall asleep before I finish my prayers. And I always say, that's great. You have the Lord on your mind, the last thing you think before you go to sleep. That's not a bad thing. But and when I go off tangent like this, I always kind of get lost in what I was trying to do here. So never happens except just now. Is there a particular circumstance that causes you to kind of go on automatic with prayers? Maybe when a crisis hits your family, or you need some patience in parenting, or when you have a need for healing, or you have a really hard decision that you have to make. I think we all have different ways and different places that we pray. And our gospel reading this evening had a rather curious beginning. Luke simply says, now Jesus was praying in a certain place. We don't know the place or the time or the circumstance. He was just in a certain place praying. And one of his disciples asks, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Now, I've always thought that the motivation for that question, that request by that disciple, was prompted primarily by Jesus' example of prayer. We don't always know for what or for whom Jesus prayed, but we do know how real and how important prayer was to him. That's one of the focuses, that's one of the important points that Luke has in his gospel. As he prayed, he was in fellowship with his Father. And maybe those disciples wanted to know what the secret to his praying was. How and why do you spend so much time in prayer? But the way Jesus answers would indicate that he heard their request a little differently. You see, it wasn't unusual for a rabbi to formulate a particular prayer for his students. So, loosely interpreted, the disciples were probably asking, Rabbi, teach us a prayer. Help us know the right way to pray and the right words to use. So when they said, Lord, teach us to pray, Jesus said, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. A year ago, Lent, we did a rather exhaustive study of this prayer. And as we did, we saw that the Lord's Prayer seems to really cover all the bases. For instance, when we pray, give us our daily bread, we're really talking about all of our basic physical needs, not just bread. And this prayer covers not only our physical need, but addresses our spiritual needs, as well as how we are to treat others. We often say that if you can keep the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. That if you could keep that commandment, you would probably be able to keep all the rest as well. Because if we trusted and looked to God alone and not to other things for our good, it would change everything we did, both in our worship to Him and the way we treat others. And in the same way, I think it's fair to say that the key to the entire prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer are really those first two words, Our Father. Everything else about this prayer flows out of our relationship with God, our Father. He is the only one who actually gives us these things. In fact, gives us all things, whether they be spiritual or physical or whatever. So when they ask Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray," it seems kind of like Jesus is saying, "There you go. You asked for it and you got it. A way to pray. A good way. The right way. Or I wouldn't have given it to you as a model." But of course, it's not the only way. And the teaching Jesus gives following these words seems to emphasize that. Jesus says that we can pray any way, anytime, anywhere, for anything. Jesus says that nothing is too large or too small to lay before our Father's feet. There are different ways to pray, but by all means, pray. Private personal prayer is important, and so is prayer with others, as a church, as a family, with your children or spouse, or even spontaneously with a close personal friend. Pray. Prayer was also important to Martin Luther. He wrote a little booklet for a friend titled "A Simple Way to Pray." For those of you who came to our Lenten services last year, we talked a bit about this booklet as well. But near the end of that booklet, Luther wrote, "This, in short, is the way I use the Lord's Prayer when I pray it. To this day, I suckle at the Lord's Prayer like a child, and as an old man, eat and drink from it and never get my fill. It is the very best prayer, even better than the Psalter, which is so very dear to me. It is surely evident that a real master composed and taught it. Therefore, what a great pity that the prayer of such a master is prattled and chattered so irreverently all over the world. How many pray the Lord's Prayer several thousand times in a course of a year? And if they were to keep on doing so for 1,000 years, they would not have tasted one iota, one dot of it. In a word, the Lord's Prayer is the greatest martyr on earth, as are the name and the word of God. Everybody tortures and abuses it, and few take comfort and joy in its proper use." Those are pretty harsh words, but I think they're also rather true words. We know where to pray, but Luther would say that there is a wrong way to pray. Jesus did too in his Sermon on the Mount. To pray for show, to pray with no sense of meaning, to pray prayers that are empty of purpose and intent, is to pray wrongly. "Go into your room and shut the door," Jesus says. "Don't stand in public and make a big show of it." Well, right after Jesus gives his disciples the Lord's Prayer in Luke, he gives them some examples of why we should be encouraged to pray and be confident when we pray. He says that a true friend will give you what you need, even if you ask at an inopportune time, if for no other reason than to make you go away. But our Father in heaven is more than a friend. So, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And John seems to show Jesus upping the ante when we read not just once, but 3 times with his disciples on Maundy Thursday, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in his Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. You did not choose me, but I chose you, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Truly, truly, I say to you that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Now, surely Jesus didn't really mean that. If he did, everyone who prays for healing would be healed. Everybody who prays for safety would never have an accident. And every one of us could provide a long list of situations for which we prayed, and it didn't happen the way we'd prayed and hoped. But Jesus can't lie. He does mean what he said. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give it to you. And the operative words are, in my name, according to my will for you. See, that means we have to trust that he has heard us and that he has answered in the way that is really best for us. But that's hard. It's hard because we know what we want him to do. We want this or that problem fixed. We want to know that whatever it is we're worried or concerned about will be dealt with the way we want it to be dealt with. But we forget that our good, good Father will always answer in a way that is best for us, which is not necessarily and certainly not always what we want that answer to be. So Jesus boldly declares, pray. I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, to the one who knocks, it will be opened. When Jesus says, ask, seek, knock, he's really saying, be bold. Be bold and never give up on praying. Now that takes faith. Time-worn and tested faith. Even if you've said the same prayer 100 times, pray it again. And even if you get the mistaken notion that God is not listening very closely, keep on praying. And even if it's the same sin that you've already confessed, confess it again. And even if it's been a long time since you've gone to God with anything, it's never too late. And he's always ready to listen. And even if your patience wears thin because God's timetable is evidently not yours, pray anyway. You see, it's really no coincidence that Jesus begins this right way to pray with the words, Our Father. When we pray, we are to remember that we're praying to a caring, embracing, forgiving Father who knows our needs and our fears, our struggles and our sins, our hopes, better than we do. He knows what we ought to have and what we'd do well without. He's the God who, despite our sin once destroyed, that our sin once destroyed our relationship, is now our Father again because of the cross of his Son. The cross of Jesus that took away that sin that separated us. So as we pray for this or that, we're placing those needs and wants, those doubts and fears, our health and life, into the hands of an all-knowing, all-wise, all-loving, all-powerful Father. Now, I'm not suggesting we're always going to be satisfied with God's response to our needs, that we'll always understand the whys and the wherefores of the direction he leads us. But our prayer is a prayer that admits and acknowledges, accepts, and applauds that our immediate and our eternal futures are not left up to fate, but rather filled to overflowing through faith in a great and grace-filled God. He is the one who, for the sake of the Son, is again our Father. So then, the right way to pray is always to our Father. Will we ever learn rightly to pray? Will we ever learn to pray as we should? I don't think so, not this side of heaven. But we can learn, and we can pray. So we should pray so that we might learn. Because in the end, it really comes down to what Jesus says. Pray then like this. Our Father, hallowed be your name. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Amen.